I find it fascinating how often, without thought or intending it, Tyler's thoughts and mine tend to link and cross over with each other. His closing thought, how do you think of your identity? How do you think of yourself in terms of God, your relationship with Him, and His kingdom? How should you think of yourself? How do you view your identity? Interestingly, my thoughts want to, this morning, explore the same point from a rather different vein. Luke chapter 8, I want to read beginning with verse 19 through 21. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press, for the large number of people around him. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. It's simple that in the beginning we're reading about Jesus' natural family, his mother, his brothers, his sisters. But Jesus immediately turns the simple literal family relationship into a spiritual significance. My family, my mother, my brother, my sister are not just my natural family, but my spiritual family. We often think of ourselves as a church family, and that's the right way to think of ourselves. Scripture uses various family identities in a number of ways. This morning, I'd like to explore two of those in particular. First of all, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. In the first two verses of Matthew 5, we read that though Jesus has been teaching a multitude down in the flatlands, he leaves the multitude, goes up into a mountain, and when his disciples came to him, he taught them. The Sermon on the Mount is God's message, Jesus' message to his people, to disciples. In chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, Jesus, remember, is talking to disciples. Think about who these people were. They were fishermen, they were tax collectors, one was an insurrectionist, they were all sorts of people. But when they came in contact with Jesus, he changed their life trajectory completely. They left career to follow Jesus. They may have been in disciple kindergarten now, but they were disciples. They left a lot of things that you and I probably would not leave for our discipleship to follow Jesus. That's who they are. Remember who they are as I read chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. If I ask how many of you were intimidated by this verse, I think I'd get a show of every single hand in the congregation. That person on the job who just is sneaky and backbiting and really gets in your face, you gonna love him? Huh? That family member who just doesn't mesh and always is in your face, you gonna bless them? That's what Jesus says his disciples should learn and study and strive to do. And then verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. that ye may be the children? These people are disciples. They believe in Jesus. They've been baptized. They have left career and many other things to follow Jesus. They're not unsaved, unregenerate people. They're born again believers in Jesus. But Jesus says, you need to do this that you may be the children of your Father. Being the children here means to be imitators, doesn't it? To act like your family identity, live up to your family identity, is really what he's teaching, and he uses the family identity for that. Let's look. Fascinating passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. This is one of those passages that in modern preaching, half of it gets read and emphasized in contradiction of the other half. I want to read it all. Beginning with John 1, verse 11. He came unto his own people, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, the point is some of his own people didn't receive him, and some of his own people did receive him. That's important. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe, interestingly, is a present tense verb, whereas the other verbs in the verse are past tense. Believing is a continuing state of mind to become the sons of God in the sense of what Jesus is teaching. And I'll continue reading to the end of the sentence. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in verse 12, those who believe in Jesus and receive him and honor him in their life receive power. By the way, the word power here does not mean ability, like building your muscles and having a certain physical ability or even a certain intellectual ability. The word is translated from a Greek word which means privilege, right, or authority. Right. Those of his own who received him were given the high honor to become in their life conduct the sons of God. That's something they had the privilege to do. But John, tell us more about these people. Who were they? What was their condition? And verse 13 tells us who they were and what their condition was. They were born. This is not something they did. Remember, above, they're given the privilege to do something. Verse 13 is something they could not do. Their birth was not this way, this way, this way, but of God. They were born into God's family by God. Now, in God's family, they are his own. And they who hear his message and learn of him and believe in him and receive his Sermon on the Mount as their challenge to live their life are given a high honor. You can be like me. Work at doing it. John is saying that the same principle that we read in the Sermon on the Mount applies here. But the people who were given this high privilege already had spiritual new birth. They didn't do something to be born again. They did something because they were. In that light, one of the clearest scriptures in the entire New Testament on the new birth, as we call it, is in John chapter 3. A man named Nicodemus, a ruler, a rabbi in the Jewish religion of the day, goes to Jesus and acknowledges him. So he's a man who has already acknowledged high respect for Jesus. I don't know how many of you saw the depiction of Jesus in the movie series The Chosen. I think, for me, one of the most intriguing characters in that whole series was their depiction of Nicodemus. I loved it. He was thoughtful. He was pondering. He took serious regard for Jesus and who he was. As we read later in John's Gospel, he was, if not now, became a true believer. And Jesus tells this man something that he can't quite wrap his mind around. I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time. You can't see God's kingdom. You can't enter God's kingdom until and unless you are born again. Got to be born again first. Well, Nicodemus, Jesus, how does this work? And Jesus explains it to him. But he summarizes the basic premise of what he's teaching in verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of God. The impetus, the effectual cause for being born again is not inside you, but outside you, like the wind. And it isn't controlled by your will and your choice. The wind blows where the wind pleases. You don't control. We can predict the wind pretty well right now, but we can't control it. The wind goes where it chooses. The word wind, translated from the pneuma, the word translated other places throughout the New Testament, spirit. The Holy Spirit of God blows in his effectual life-giving power where he pleases. So are some that are born of God. You Bible readers, come on. Did I make that right? Oh, no. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God doesn't have 15 different ways to save people. He has one way, that is the work of the Spirit through the saving graces of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that one reaches them all the same way. Amen. Even those who were born of the Spirit in the Old Testament. You read it. Thank you for that. I'll keep that in my bank. Love it. So here Jesus uses family relationship in a vital sense. You become a member of his family, not by your choice, but by his work of grace through the Spirit. Once my children were born into the world, they and I and Sandra interacted, and sometimes they did what we wanted, sometimes they didn't. But folks, not a one of our three daughters came to us before they were conceived and said, I think I want to be born in your family. I think I'd like to be a holder when I'm born. Not a one of them did. All of that consciousness and activity came after they were born. So it is with the spiritual nature of our birth. Now let's go back to the practical side. I'm chasing the clock, I know, but this is important stuff. Quickly, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Okay, but before I read anything, let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. How does Paul describe the Philippians? Pardon me. He's writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. He describes the recipients of his Philippian letter as saints who are in Christ Jesus. He's not writing to lost sinners telling them how they can get in Christ. He's writing to saints who are already in Christ. This is the same pattern Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. We begin in chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Paul couldn't say that to the Galatians, could he? Not as in my presence only. You behave when I'm there to look good in my eyes. No, you behave when I'm not there. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say save yourself. He said work it out. In high school and college, despite the fact I didn't go, well, I went partly in that direction in accounting, but I loved algebra in high school. It was my favorite subject. And we had a teacher who made a game. He was the best teacher I think I ever had. He made a game out of all those word puzzles and algebraic challenges. And he'd set up the problem, and then he would say, Joe, come to the board and work it out. Do the intellectual stuff to go through the process and come up with the right answer. You're already saints in Christ. Now work out, figure out, come to an understanding of why and how you are who you are in Christ. So you begin thinking of yourself as a child of the King. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's at work in you, or you wouldn't have a puzzle to work out. Do all things. Okay, this is kind of like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He gets in our face and challenges. Do all things without murmuring. I could do it better. Why is it this way? That's murmuring, right? And disputing. You're wrong. I'm right. I don't agree with you. I'm the gold standard for right. Don't do that. Do all things without murmuring and without disputing. What? Look at verse 15 now. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You're already saints and you're already in Christ. Do you want to be a son of God by your conduct? Then here's the way to start. Work out the puzzle of your salvation and come to the right answer. The Bible answer, not your imagination answer. Our books, the algebra books I used, had the answers and of the problems in the appendix. But they didn't have the way you had to work out that answer. You had to go through the process you had been taught. And when you came up with the answer, you could check it to see if it's right or wrong. These are the answers in the back of the book. When you come up with it, check this book to see whether it's right or wrong. That ye may be in your conduct, in your lifestyle, in your faith, the sons of God, not under chastening, but the sons of God without rebuke. It's easy. I understand. For us to slip into the pattern of thinking of ourselves, oh, I'm just a woebegone, horrible sinner. Oh, but Jesus saved me. But I'm such a bad sinner. Heard that? Felt that way? Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Paul, in discussing one of the most insightful lessons in the New Testament on Christian life and Christian warfare. Likewise, like Jesus. He's the captain of our salvation, so shouldn't we listen to him for orders on how we conduct ourselves in his army? Reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When I studied accounting, the first 10 plus years, I practiced accounting. It was the old-fashioned kind. Barry, it wasn't a computer program that you typed in entries and you got checked right on the spot whether it was right or wrong. You know, I didn't have a garter on my shirt sleeve, but I was in that era, okay? And you had to compile special journals and summarize them, and by hand, you could not post to the general ledger in pencil so you could erase it. You had to post in ink, indelible ink. And you posted to the general ledger, and then you ran with a 10-key adding machine the balances, and then you copied them over to a spreadsheet, and you ran another adding. You had to work till you solved and balanced the books to a penny, and you couldn't plug a penny. You had to fix it all to a perfect balance. Okay, sometimes human frailty shows up, and you would post something the wrong way to the general ledger, so you had to correct it, but accounting principle required that you had to initial when you made the correction. It was precise, it was legal, and it was mandatory. When Paul uses the word reckon, he's using an accounting term, post to your ledger in ink, that you are dead to sin and that you are alive to God through Jesus. Always think of yourself like that. And then, based on all these lessons we've looked at this morning, claim your name, claim your identity, and be children of the King. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." But Paul, in the Philippians 2 passage, said, when you only shine as a light in the world, when you do all things without murmuring and complaining and disputing, when you act like a child of the King, you can believe in Jesus and live in darkness. But the admonition of Scripture is, be who you are in Jesus. Claim your identity and live it so people who know you look at you as a child of the King, and you look at yourself as a child of the King. Amen. God bless. Amen.